Hi there.
We're doing fine but hot.
Yeah.
Our little rehearsal studio in the south of France. And right now it's okay. How do you say canicule in English?
Heat wave.
Oh, wow. Well, have you guys, obviously you guys are all allowed to hang out together again now. Is the pandemic calming down where you guys are? You're all about to allowed to gather together in groups a little bit or no?
You don't have the last news in the U.S. You know, pandemic is going back up really hard here. So
yeah, we've got a second wave, especially in the big cities like Paris or Marseille.
So, you know,
big cities are talking about closing back the bars and restaurants and shit.
Shit, man. Well, I'm sorry to be the downer by asking the tough question up front there. I was just like, oh, wow, you guys get to hang out. We all still have to separate over here in some places. Like, I haven't hung out with friends like that in a long time. This is how I hang out with friends now over the internet. So, but it's cool to make some friends halfway around the world, man. Thank you guys for being willing to do this.
Here's to that.
And thank you to Chloe for reaching out. She sent me the email with your bonsai video, and I was like, holy shit, I need to talk to these guys. So I don't know where you want to start. If you guys want to tell me the story of how you guys came together or tell me, because – you guys, very unique sound. I haven't heard anything else like this, especially, I mean, I'm not very big on the rock scene in France either. So you could tell me a little bit about the music scene that you guys were in before you came together and how you came together and how people are reacting to you guys now. Because I'll tell you what, Bonsai, man, that shit is amazing. That shit just explodes. I was like, man, I wish I was a wrestler and I could have that as my entrance music. I'm like, I'm burning this place down. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Long story short, Leo and I were in a band together for a couple of years, I reckon. And Furies and the Renegades.
Yeah, three years.
So we were in a band together, which split after like a tiny ass tour. So, but we kept on playing together, and after I met Florian, who's right here, the big guy, and we were working in the same restaurant because music doesn't pay rent yet.
Yeah. Neither does podcasting, so welcome to that.
And so we start chatting and shit, and he told me, dude, I play guitar. I was like, oh, sweet. Well, you know what? My drummer and I were just jamming, and we've got like a studio that we can go to, and you're welcome to jam along and have a couple of beers. And that's how like it started as a three-piece band. Uh-huh. And we started playing in pubs in Pigalle, which is the red light district of Paris, doing like covers and in fucking Irish pubs and shit, which was pretty fun though. We had good fun night.
Yeah.
After a while, we've got our friend Harry, who booked us in a festival, but we had to produce our own original songs. And like to get to 45 minutes, 15 minutes set was all fucking originals.
Oh, wow.
So we got down to writing. And so we had that set going and rolling. And after a while, we recruited Theo right here on the fucking bass.
Nice, man.
Section needed it.
yeah, dude. Hey, listen, I'm a bass player too, so I love it when the bass player gets respect. So, rock on, man.
So, and we've been together as a four piece for the past 7 years now.
That's awesome, man. And so, do you guys feel like before you all found each other, were you all just sort of floating around alone, not sure where you were going to fit in? Like, were you all just pieces of a puzzle that just hadn't come together yet? Or what was the music scene like when you guys were sort of coming together? Was there a lot of bands playing, or were you guys sort of one of the first rocking bands that were kind of taking that area by storm?
Yeah, actually, Paris is a great school for musicians because you got a few places and a lot of musicians. So competition is harsh, and you can learn a lot about you just walk 20 meters, you've got someone way better than you just to.
Oh, wow.
You see, and it's easy. So for us, we were as a rock band nowadays in Paris. Rock is not really the main music genre.
France is not very rock and roll aficionado. You've got a few spots, like the city of Nantes, Not since like North and West Border France, just underneath Brittany. Not as fucking rocking. But
okay.
French people, they're more into like electro or whatever shit they are in. But France is not that rock and roll.
It felt like very poppy, right? Like a lot more like top 40 kind of. I mean, I was in France in 98 when the French team won the World Cup. Yeah. And I didn't feel like there was, other than you guys smashing up every window on the Champs-Élysées, I was like, not a lot of rock and roll going on out here. But I think that's what stood out to me when I heard your guys' music. I was like, holy shit. Like, I feel like you guys sound like you're from New York. You know what I mean? Like the music, the sound. You guys sound like you're already over here kicking ass. So that's why I was just like, oh my god, who are you? Let's talk. You guys want to individually introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you do and what your musical influences were for the band, like what you brought to the table?
Okay.
You'll start up, right?
I began really loving drums with John Bonham, like many other drummers before me. And so I was really influenced during years by his playing, and I played mainly rock music a long time. And then I went a little bit more to funk music and groove music. So it was a big thing for me. All the American funk show business, you know, with the flash and the big call out. Get me down!
Nice. Like the spinners and stuff.
That's something I always love to have, and I try to bring it the most possible in Folsom. So yeah, to make it short, I would say that about me.
All right, so that was Leo the drummer speaking. Hey there, everybody. I'm Pete. I'm the lead singer. Introduce yourself, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's
I'm doing what I'm told.
This is Jackson. You guys are rock stars, man. You do it the right way.
I reckon I'm the metalhead of the band. Huge fan of Motorhead, Iron Maiden. Huge fan of Southern rock, country, blues, rock and roll, rockabilly, and some stoner doom. I'm really the metalhead of the band, so I'm bringing the balls into the funk.
I like it.
Dip your
next
balls
in line.
So I'm Flo. And I play guitar on Folsom. And personally, I began by gypsy jazz music. You know, I was most of a jazz musician. And then I met these guys, and I always been fond of Iron Maiden, Hendrix, you know, all the great guitar players. And so we created Folsom. And then since 7 years, I'm here.
Awesome. Awesome. And who's the guy hiding on the side here?
The bass player of the band. Excuse me for my English, because I will try to do something. I begin the bass because my brother was playing guitar, and I hate my brother.
It's like a Van Halen story right here.
I was totally fan, a Flea fan, you know, the bassist of Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I begin by this way, and after I prefer, you know, funk music, black music, than rock music, so...
Yeah.
It's like this.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, because, I mean, like, you'll be listening to one of your songs, and the sound changes. Like, I was listening to Cannibal, and I'm like, okay, we're grooving, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and hey, Metallica just showed up for the middle. All of a sudden it explodes. You know what I mean? How did you guys find that formula? Because it seems like you did a good job of bringing all the different styles you like and having it flow from one into the other to make a full song. You know what I mean? So how did you guys come up with that ability? How'd you come up with the formula that created Folsom?
Actually, it's a long process. It's really 7 years long process of just, at the beginning, you know, we were mainly just jamming, not really caring a lot about that. And we made the first album more like a work note book. Work note book, does it make sense? Yeah, a work note
book. Sketches. And, I like that.
Yeah, sketches. Finally, and yeah, we had to have some. We had to have something recorded so that we could have some better gigs and etc. So one thing leading to another. We finally had feedback that for programmers in France, it was really hard to put us into a little box and say, okay, those guys are doing this kind of music, so I may trust them, and okay, let's pay those guys and get them over. So finally, we had to focus a little bit more our sound. And after a lot of conversations over the years, a lot of long nights, we ended up saying, okay, you know what? Heavy blues rock is a good
heavy blues rock it is.
For us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try to now be much more rigorous about the writing of the song, and does it have the right vibe, the right sound that comes with it. And that's what we try to do on the next EP coming up in a few days.
Yeah, just to add up with what Leo just said is what we're tending towards, and hopefully that's what you guys are going to listen to on our upcoming EP, is that now when you hear a Folsom song inside a playlist, like, it's going to be totally recognizable by the first, you know, 25 seconds. Say, okay, fuck yeah, that's Folsom. We need to have our own sound signature, and we have to be noticeable inside the whole mesh of the rock and roll world. Like, if we manage to do that, we fucking made it on point towards our, you know, main objectives. Like, we need our sound. Folsom has to be recognizable inside the whole mesh of the rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you guys are doing a great job of that so far. I mean, like, it immediately, like, it's almost like a lightning bolt came out of the storm, you know? How did you guys wind up choosing the name? Does it have anything to do with Johnny Cash?
Well, to tell you the whole story, I'm a huge fan of the Cash. And when we started playing the pub gigs, our opening song was Folsom Prison Blues.
Oh, nice, nice. I got to give my girlfriend credit for that one. She just handed me the note. That was fresh in from the office. Like, ask them about Johnny Cash. She's the best secret I have. So they all said hi.
Got a Cash tattoo right here before him. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, dude, that's pretty badass. Look at that. I like it, man. Nice. Very
so
cool.
So, yeah, actually, the first name that we had, like, for just one gig was Free Beer, to get the people inside the bus. Like, tonight, Free Beer, and people come in. No, that's the band.
Like, tonight, everybody gets laid on stage. That's awesome. So, what has been... is there a single show that you felt like was the show that told you guys, all right, we got this? Like, was there a show that was like the magic show where it really kind of came together and you felt like, all right, now we got the lightning in the bottle?
It's a bit of a discussion, as you mentioned, because we have a few important shows to us. Like, the one that really become a little bit legendary was the one in Bellastock, I think, the first one.
Yeah.
Because we figured out,
still a three-piece.
We're not playing in a pub, you know, we're playing in real stage with real people, and it was a fucked-up night with...
It was pouring fucking rain.
Yeah.
Knee-deep in the mud. It was like backwards shit, literally backwards shit.
And like Woodstock, you know?
No power electricity anymore in the festival, so you just end up with a...
So the biggest drum solo you ever did.
7 minutes drum solo in the dark, and when the light comes back up, everybody is like, whoa, roll the
That was on. Actually the gig we had to write our own originals for. That was like the first Folsom original song gig.
And it went so good, we said, okay, yeah, that's one of it. Of course, there was many mistakes, and it was not the most perfect gig we ever did. But
it just like more about the energy, you know, you feel. And I remember last year when we were in Austria, that it was the last gig of the tour. And it was really like peaceful, you know, we were just good. The public felt good. I don't know.
It was like on the top of a mountain, surrounded by fields, and opening stage. And it was so chill, and we had the sunset behind the mountains. It was absolutely unbelievable. Yeah,
and all the show went just...
And, two
just
minutes. And we ended up jamming ended up jamming acoustic, you know, sitting on the side of the stage with the people that stuck after the gig. And having beers and chatting with people and no whams, just acoustic guitar and singing our asses off. It was, yeah, beautiful memories, right?
Dude, man, it's like you guys have like a tapestry going of like you're living the life. You know what I mean? This is what when you guys were you all I mean, was this what you wanted to do since you were kids? Were you all kind of dreaming of being rock stars and musicians from the time you were young?
That's how I literally started listening to Elvis, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Willie Nelson, and all, because I just wanted to be around the campfire playing the guitar and being a fucking cowboy.
Oh, wow. Wow,
I was doing a lot of horse riding, and so I was supposed to go to work with the horse, and finally, you know.
Yeah, and he wanted to
be a train driver.
Oh, really? A conductor? Wow, man. So do you think, do you ever imagine the alternate universe where that's what you wound up doing?
I'm a graduate of business and economics, and I worked during 3 months, I think. After that, I wanted to kill myself real hard. So I said, okay, maybe let's try to do something else. And yeah, I just ended up playing music because I was playing a little bit of drum in the back of my house. And that's all.
I love that, man, that going after, because it's like, you know, I've spent some time in the corporate world over here in America, too, and it's not easy to hold on to the dream while you're being drowned out and all that. So, you know, I'm glad you guys decided to kind of to go this route. What has been like the crowd? What's it been like playing in front of crowds? Like when you finally got your sound together, what were the crowd responses when you first started showing, especially since you guys are one of the only bands that have this kind of a sound, the only band that has this kind of sound. What's the audience response like when you guys play out?
Most of the time, like the crowd is really responsive, and we're a real stage band as well. We love being on stage. We're like fishes in a tank, you know, when we're on stage, we're in our own fucking element. And we like playing a lot with the audience as well. So when it works and the chemistry just like fucking connects, that's absolutely unbelievable. And I remember this gig we had last tour in Germany last summer. We were playing in Toulouse in France the night before. Had 2 hours sleep, took the plane up to Munich. After I had like 2 hours ride to go to the festival, people were so fucking nice. Wow. Here's your backstage. Do you want a beer? Fuck yeah, it's 10 in the morning. Stage, sound checks. And after we started playing and we're on second main stage, my memory's good. Second main stage, 3 p.m., beautiful fucking weather. It was like 100 degrees. We're like playing and people were just like, oh, we don't know that band. And we're the only foreign band playing in that festival. It was only two bands playing. We're the only guys from across the border. And people started gathering around the stage. And by the third song, everybody was dancing. And some guys took some fire hoses to spray
the audience.
So we had like everybody soaking wet, dancing in the mud and shit. Mud is a recurring thing in our game. Yeah.
Keeping you down to earth, man. Keeping you down to earth with the people.
We are fucking audience.
And to add up, now, as we were saying earlier, it's been 7 years. So now we have our share of crowds. And now it's not so much about pressure before when you say it's more like, okay, if the 5 first minutes of the show sound good to my ears, sound good to the other ones, then we're just okay. Now
it's free rolling.
Where is everyone? Okay, everyone have fun. Let's go. It becomes easy. I'm sorry, I lack a little bit of vocabulary, but that's my.
Hey man, no, but that's the magic, right? Not everybody gets to experience that. And when you see that happening with the band, and if you're lucky enough to be in the crowd at a show like that, that's pretty special. So I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash band from company headquarters. Code Gold, Command Eyes Only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and Rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
when you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie. It's creepy. But then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff. There's the, like, rapey nature of the face huggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Just stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom. Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a boat, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
It sounds like you guys have done a lot of traveling. How many countries have you guys played in? How many places have you been to? And where do you still want to go that you haven't got to if this pandemic ever ends? And
we'll definitely want to come over to you guys.
Yeah, man. I was hoping you'd say that because I'm going to be right there in the front row. You guys better have a backstage pass waiting for me.
Played a good old country. But we've been to Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and after we toured a bit in France, you know, like all over France, north to east, southwest, southeast. So we've been around a bit, and we're definitely aiming to play a bit more in you know, like old closed borders. So Italy, Luxembourg, Belgium, Netherlands, all that kind of shit.
They're pretty keen into rock music, so yeah. It's very fun. The crowds, as you were saying, are really great in those countries. Like, they're here to listen for some.
And even Eastern Europe, you know, like Russia or Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. Scandinavian people are fucking insane. And bucket list as well. And yeah. Definitely, first one going over to the States and play some gigs there. Yeah, that's what we want
to
do.
We'd like to see Great Britain too. Actually, we've got some negotiations for Bristol, and we'll see. But yeah, just check it out. We've been told there were some quite good musicians.
Yeah. Well, you're hearing it from here, also from the Hollow Nine Network. We definitely love you guys. And I also love, you know, I mean, when I watch the video for Banzai, I'm just like, holy shit, these guys are like right in a Tarantino film. Where, what, like, do you guys have stories that go with each of the songs in your minds? And do you see that, like, maybe, like, you would want one of these songs to get into a movie? Because I totally feel like they should be on movie soundtracks. You guys got to get some of these songs.
Thank you very much for that. The Banzai is our fourth music video. Third or fourth. And the producer is always the same. His name is Antoine Guibert. And his assistant boys from all, they're good friends of ours. They're part of the crew, and they've been doing our music videos from the start. And what they do is I've just sent them up the lyrics and the music, and according to it, we just collaborate together to write a storyboard. But they're pretty much free to do whatever they wanna, because they get it straight away. So we're just, you know, part of, we're just pawns in the music video.
Gotcha.
And after that, to go to where what you were saying, we would love to be featured in some music as part of an original soundtrack in a movie or TV show, whatever. Yeah. Because we're all big movie fans, each with our own influences as well. But for instance, our song Werewolf, that was on our first album. It's really inspired by the 1960s, you know, kind of shady horror movies that were produced and all that. I'm a huge fan of those films. Like, and all the new ones that were supposed to be from the 17s, like Hobo with a Shotgun, Run, Bitch, Run, Naked Nuns with Big Guns, all that kind of shit.
Zombie strippers, yeah.
Exactly. That's my jam.
nice. What about you guys? What about the rest of you guys? What kind of movies? And because, I mean, obviously, some of the other art you love will come into the music, right? It influences the music.
I'd love to see Folsom maybe in an action movie, you know, very stupid, like, with no scenario at all, and just like action, you know, and big guitars, and
Because your guitar solos, man, they come in and they all of a sudden have that. Like, I feel like I hear Living Color going on here. I'm hearing like all this stuff that makes me think big, like Schwarzenegger jumping out of a building and trying to get the bat. You know what I mean? And then you have like it slows down. So that's where they're talking on the side, going, "All right, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?" You know what I mean? And then it like explodes again. And then you guys, you know what I mean? So you cover. You're like a 3 or 4 minute song from you guys could cover a whole sequence in a movie. So if you guys should have your producers write a movie to do that, you know, make a movie, a Folsom movie. I think that would be a really cool idea.
One movie we're all fans of is the fucking Die Hards, and we even wrote a song called Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that. Yippee-ki-yay.
Played live, never recorded.
That's awesome.
We played it a few times, and it goes well with the audience because we go, "What does John McClane say? Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker."
And everybody knows That's like universal, right?
Yay, motherfuckers!
That is awesome.
We might have a few videos, like fan videos that hang around the internet where you can see that song.
yeah. And I see you guys definitely, you're so like, you're so comfortable talking to the crowd, you know what I mean? That was actually when I was first looking at readers, I was like, man, I hope somebody in the band speaks English, otherwise I'm not going to be able to interview these guys. A little bit of French from high school, but nowhere near enough to carry on this conversation. So I was really happy to find out that you guys speak very well, and it just seems like so much of it is just right there. Like it's we need the video, or that one person who hears the song says, "I got a movie coming out. I want that on my soundtrack." So if anybody's out there listening to this right now, if your friends are looking for a song for a movie, you want to check out Folsom and go find them on Facebook and find them on YouTube. Check out Banzai for sure. Holy shit. Like that has to be in a movie or a TV show. It could be the opening theme for a TV show.
Just to complete, but a few years ago, we were in a BMW show off, you know, about...
It was a race. Yeah. It was, you know, like you guys have NASCAR in France with Manicourt. And Manicourt is like a big fucking race circuit. And we're playing for the BMW days. So that was only BMWs racing throughout the day. And we were playing on a huge fucking stage that was the back of a truck. That was a good fun as well. And
that's
our
awesome.
Music got featured for the business-to-business video. So
nice.
At the end, you know, inside, through the whole company, our song Fucking the Devil's Mother got featured on
that. Maybe for the whole Fast and Furious, something like that, we can applicate.
That's awesome. Hey, man, you know what? Any press is good press, right? And especially playing in front of those guys, that's who you want to hear your stuff. And, like, when you're at those shows, do the things you're seeing and the crowds and all the way the people are responding, is that now you're writing new songs in your head based on that? How do the song inspirations come to you guys? Like, where do you come up with your ideas for your songs?
Well, the whole creative process goes from, I'd say, 95% of the time by Flo having a riff. And he just comes in like, "Guys, I have this riff." So we jam along on it, try to settle like a track, you know. And as once it's settled, we just play it over and over and over again until I feel something. I was like, okay, I've got some inspiration. And we just work that way. And I'll just write the lyrics according to the feeling I've got when I play the song with the guys.
And around the joke.
Most of the time, we're not political, whatever. We're just fucking douchebags drinking beer and playing rock and roll. So.
Gosh. So it stays fun. It always stays fun.
Barbecue, about the werewolves.
We got a song about talking about barbecue.
And then what, I mean, you all obviously speak a couple languages. What made you land on doing your lyrics in English? And do you keep them in English or do you change the language based on where you're playing? How does that work?
Because I can't fucking sing in French.
Oh, there you go.
That's the answer.
That works for me, man. I have to do this in English because I don't speak anything else. And everybody, it seems like with music, it's not as big a deal, right? Like with songs, for some reason, it doesn't matter what language it's in. If you like the song, if you like the rhythm, it just like you still get you still get what the song is about, right? Like you're the, you feel it.
If you translate, for example, the Stevie Wonder song into French, it's just cheesy as shit.
But if you hear it in English, it still works, right?
I don't know why. Maybe French is...
Yeah. And French never been rock and roll, right? And I reckon, well, you've heard a few other tracks and shit. So we're really influenced by the American style rock and roll.
Sure, sure.
Not like the British Invasion or whatever. Our sound sounds really American because we also love Clutch. Clutch is one of our...
I was going to say, you have to listen to Clutch, man. When I was listening to Hannibal, I was like, oh, God, there's so much...
Clutch, Caius, Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
All that scene, you know, a stoner desert rock scene, we're all fans of that. And fucking hell, you know, like American rock and roll is better than British rock and roll. I love fucking Motorhead. I love fucking Motorhead.
Nice. Favorite band in
the world, but they're not really fucking British.
Yeah, they just have a little British guy in there. Exactly. Do you guys go to shows together as a band? Like, do you go see other bands or do you go see big famous rock bands? What was like, you know, your favorite show that you all went to together? Or was there a show that you went to together that like really inspired you guys? Like, we got to kick our game up, man.
Hellfest 2014 Clutch at the Hellfest.
Hellfest?
Yeah, it was really...
Do you know about Hellfest?
I've heard of it, but I don't know.
It's like a metal festival in Europe after Wacken, which is in Germany.
Okay, I've heard of the German one, yes.
And it's like the best fucking metal festival.
So we only got one in France, so they put everything in it. So it's really like huge stages.
Stoner, Doom, anything, like headliners... Everything. Fucking huge headliners, but we went there 2 years in a row together.
Yeah.
And we saw Kiss, Iron Maiden, Clutch, Walls of Jericho, Lamb of God, Motorhead. So many bands, mate. It's like 25 bands a day. You hardly have time to drink beer in between the gigs.
Right, yeah, you got to keep running around from stage to stage and like fighting your way through. So obviously.
If you ever come back to France, check out Hellfest, best fucking festival in France.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Well, I'll meet you guys there for sure. I'll come hang out.
Go to your little clubs, too, because it happens to us also to go in Paris, you know, see a friend's band and see, check them out and then chat with them, maybe have a jam. Yeah, it's really important, I think, to watch the
little... And keep the scene alive,
small
right?
bands also.
And keep the scene alive.
What's going on.
Is there a lot of support from other bands, like when you guys are playing out in the clubs? Is it like head-to-head competition, or do you guys actually kind of support each other?
Most of the time we play with friends.
Yeah.
And okay. If they're not friends, we become friends.
Mostly you always played with some other guys that is doing the same kind of music than you, you know? Mm. And it's always the same scene with the same bands, and so everybody knows each other a bit, you know? So
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. See, I like that idea that it's like a culture, you know what I mean? Like a community of musicians. And I feel like there's a little bit of that. I feel like that goes across oceans, that goes across the internet. So it'd be awesome to see what you guys get into once all this madness is over and you can come over to the U.S. and hang out and play in New York, play in D.C. over here. So if you guys could have like a magic wand that grants your biggest wish ever, who is the band that you guys want to open for you on your huge world tour when you guys have it all?
Might be Rival Sons, maybe.
Rival Sons.
All right, guys. You heard it. You heard it here first, so just keep your
Scott and Miley and Jay. which I've met numerous times in Paris. If they're listening, if ever, shout out
there
to you.
Are you guys watching anything on TV? Are there any TV shows that you watch on, like, you know, Netflix or anything? And are any of them ones where you're going, like, man, we should get a song in that show? Or, hey, we should write a song about that show.
Oh, I never thought about it.
Yes, we did. Because, well, actually, we're all kind of good sci-fi fans.
Nice. Okay? Yes.
We like the dystopia and all the, this kind of post-apocalyptic stuff. And yes, of course, Star Wars, but Star Wars is everyone, you know. Star Wars is everybody. So, like, it's common knowledge, you know, it's normal.
No, but we also love shits like Rick and Morty, you know.
Yes! South Park from back in the day, you know. It's always fun to find out, like, when we're all not doing what it is that we do on stage, like, what are we doing when we're hanging out, and, like, what kind of movies we're watching, what kind of TV shows, Community, stuff like that's pretty fun too. But it's like, yeah, I just wonder too, because, like, I'll be sitting there watching shows and go, man, you know, like, I almost feel like I could write, like, a scene for that show, or like I figure, like, if I was in a band, I'd be like, we could totally, I want to do a song for that, even if they don't put it in the show. I want to do a song about that. Have you ever tried anything like that, or has anything like that hit you where you're like, you watch something and then you're like, we got to go write something about this? Like, how does not inspiration?
Not intentionally, but I think I would like to see us, like, making the music of, you know, the scene of Matrix where they come back at the first floor of the building. And,
yeah, yeah,
you know, they just drop all the girls in there.
I told you, explosions and shit. You know,
man.
Which come back to barbecue, grill some shit, blow up shit.
There you go, dude. Hey, and that, there's not much that's more American than that these days. You know, grill some shit, blow some shit up. The dystopia is becoming real. You know, Matrix 4 is on the way, so who knows? I think that's coming out in 2022. Have you guys heard about that?
Matrix 4.
Yep, we did.
Matrix 4. Well, probably not Leo, but we did.
Yeah, I think I just heard him hear about it for the first time. Check out, I have a couple videos that I found on YouTube. I've been sharing them on the Hollow Nine Facebook page. You should check it out. There's a lot of crazy stuff. You guys should try to get a song in there. Well, I'm sure, is there anything that you guys, you just played at a prison, right? Didn't you guys play at a prison last week? Tell me a little bit about that show, because that was the big thing that when we were scheduling. Chloe mentioned you guys were playing at a prison. I was like, oh, that's got to be cool.
It was we're not really prepared to what we're gonna have when going there, but we're excited to as well, like a band named Folsom playing in prison.
It's perfect.
That is it, you know, like the cash in St. Quinin and all that. So I was pretty much excited, but I was not really expecting anything. Because the prison crowd, the inmates are mostly into hip hop or Afro trap, whatever shit, and we're a fucking rock and roll band, you know.
Yeah.
So we went there, set up the stage. We had like 17 inmates in there.
Yeah, 17.
And you know, like for the social distanciation as well, so they had a mask on, they spit it up. So maybe not a bad idea, because like mosh pit was inmates. I don't know.
You set off a riot.
But actually, I would say maybe 60% of the inmates who have never listened to rock and roll in all their fucking life came to us after the show and was like, guys, I was not expecting that. I never listened to rock and roll, but fuck yeah. I like the energy. I like the songs. And that was a reward in itself, you know?
Yeah.
Because the guys were, like, really enthusiastic about it and say, we never listened to that kind of music, but you guys did a great job, and thank you. And those guys are fucking locked up 10 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Even more than that. So that, it gave a smile on their faces and made them headbang a bit, and they had a good time. That's a fucking reward. And there's an inmate that tried to jump on another inmate during the gig. And that was kind of fun as well. It's just like playing in a crowded pub and a drunk guy just pisses off another guy. And you get a bouncer like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Well, how did that come about? How did you guys wind up getting that gig? Is that like, did they find you? Did you find them? I mean, you don't. There's only a few bands that play in prison.
Well, of course, it's because apart from the, of that, I also play and work with a theater company. And we did some educational projects in Fleury-Mérogis, which is the biggest French prison. So I had some experience with inmates and with working, teaching some stuff to inmates. And then to them, it was like safer to know that somebody had this experience first. So they say, oh, yeah, maybe. Because apart from the show, we did some classes of instrument, drum classes and guitar classes with some of the inmates, tried to make them put up a song together and maybe...
Which they actually played in the opening just before the show.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Awesome.
That's a good way to make them interested in that sound, which is not their, as said Peter, it's not
their background.
Their backgrounds. They wanted us to play, you know. When we came up in the first classes, it was just, okay, guys, well, what do you like to listen or to play? And they just named us like the...
Rap music, rap shit. And then we say, okay, but don't you know Dr. Dre? And
type of French rap. The French rap, apart from the 90s, early 2000, which was really good, and the lyrics were good. Now, you guys have shitty rap right now.
Oh, French. Yeah. No, I'm not gonna deny that.
that's only a statement from Peter Cadet. So let's let him respond to all of this.
I'll co-sign. We have fallen off on the rap chart, man, for sure. Our heroes are all dead, and they're trying to figure out what they're doing now. So I'm right there with you on that one. Oh, man. Well, and then I guess the other thing that I wanted to ask, and then I'll kind of let you guys get back to rehearsing, because I appreciate you giving me some time out of your day.
It's a pleasure for us, too.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, this has been awesome. Thank you guys so much. This is so cool. That you guys also did a song for COVID-19 on your YouTube channel, and you guys recorded that all completely remotely. Is that how you guys did it? Tell me a little bit about that. And since you got the second wave coming, is that going to be something you're going to continue doing now until things calm down again?
Exactly. Yeah. Mr. Maybe turn off the COVID.
maybe the COVID 20.
Yeah, COVID 20. If we get to COVID 21, then it's all over.
That started off, we're supposed to play some gigs, and starting from mid-May to late June, we had like a couple of gigs and festivals that were planned, and everything got fucking shut down, so we're locked up in our places. Florian was right here in Vézézoux, which we are in the countryside. Thierry was stuck at his place. Thierry was stuck in Lyon. I was stuck in Paris. So we just chatted over the phone, and we're like, you know what? Let's do a song about the COVID. We each can record at home, so let's do something fun and all that. Yeah. And so I just took my guitar and I was like, oh, let's do a country song. So it's a COVID-19.
Yeah. And, stupid fucking thing. I love this. That was so good. And,
so I sent just like the phone demo to Flo, and he was like, yeah, all right. So he put up the mandolin and second guitar, and we just like boom, recorded track over track. And Arthur just recorded it playing live with our phones, you know, just put on a stand, and that's it. We put it together, and that was fun, and people fucking loved it.
We just wanted to keep on playing music and
let ourselves down and keep people updated as well, you know, like, because we didn't want to just like sink into a void of nothing because it's fucking COVID.
Yeah.
So I said, guys, hey, look on the bright side of life. We can still do music. And we had this every Sunday. We used to like have drinks with our fans, you know, on our Facebook page, going live, answering to questions, having a drink, having a good laugh all together. And that included a lot of people because there was not a topic to discuss. It was just us drinking beers together and including people in. And that was good fun though.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. That's a really cool thing to do for your fans.
Will you do that again?
We do not know.
We don't know.
Might or might not.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man.
upside down as well, but this time we'll manage to be lugged on together. So we can for you guys, you know, like
there you go. You all just have to stay at that house until they tell you, all right, no one can go home. And you're like, I guess we're all stuck together here. I guess we just have to record an album. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, what are you guys going to do to just kind of chill out for the rest of the day and, like, keep yourselves in your musical mindset, stay healthy out there, kind of avoid the second wave?
Well, actually, as our tour in Germany and Switzerland is coming up in September, so now it's still on. So
nice.
Fingers crossed.
But now, for now, it's still on. So we wanted to enjoy that time to get a better live show. We're working on the live show. Scenography and
And the EP too, right? Isn't the EP on its way, or do we have
it's
a?
It's in the production process. It's actually being mastered right now.
And nice.
Our bass player did most of the mixing part, so now we just send it to mastering. So we're roughly not taking care of the EP anymore, just like giving feedback when we hear the tracks. It's being handled. Now we're really working on the live show and the live aspect, and offering the best show ever for the crowd that's going to be out there when we're on the road. That's what we're doing.
Man.
We've been at it for the past 3 days, and we still have a couple of days left.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Check them out on YouTube. Check them out on Facebook. And if you're lucky enough to be where their tour is heading, you know, check them out live. Mask up and keep the social distancing going. Keep safe. But definitely Folsom, a band to keep your eyes and ears on, guys. And we hopefully will get to hang out with you guys again, hopefully in person sometime. But definitely we'll keep checking back with you guys. And is there anything else you wanted to just tell everybody before we sign off? Anything that people should look for or go to or check out? Or
stay safe and listen to fucking rock and roll.
Yeah. It's
a pleasure,
baby. Yeah. All right, man. Well, dudes, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with us over at the Holland.
Thank you so very much, Mike.
And we will mask up.
Thank you so very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Dude, this is awesome. Thank you. And thank you guys for making such awesome music. Seriously. Like I'm in from now until the end. So I will be keeping an eye and subscribing, and I'll be telling everybody to check you out too. So keep checking in with us too, man. Come back and hang out sometime.
Hey,
all
nine, baby.
Take care.
Take it easy, guys.
You too. Guys. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine. New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created, New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow. Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
Oh my God. Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey.
Wow, we are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely.
Be well.
Safe.
Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see
happened.
It on radio, but
oh
she's still
my God.
Got it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife right
still
there.
Got
my
it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When
the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's really amazing clear. Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's great that you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey, I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Ted's. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those films. Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
I want to go to that
$2,
camp.
Man. Right? I've walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. Oh. But of course,
we need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.